Hello, we're there now. Good. Welcome, everybody. It's great to be together again this morning. Are you all enjoying? What a great time of worship that was. I love the words of the prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations 3, where he says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." That's the God we worship. He's steadfast and strong. His forgiveness is at hand. He is with us. What an amazing God. And great that we can join together this morning. It is our combined service for the day. And so we need to remember that there is no PM service tonight. So for all those younger ones who are inclined to go at 6 o'clock tonight, have the night off. Go and catch up with friends. So today, how we're planning to run is to run a fairly conventional service. What we will do at the end, though, is we'll break for a cup of tea. So we've got the tea up at the back. So feel free to go and grab a cuppa. So 5 minutes or so, and then come back to your seats, and then we'll continue just to have. We're hoping to have it more just like a conversation between you and the leadership this morning as we just share a bit about where our hearts are for Maitland Baptist for the coming year. And we're just going to hopefully have just a time of conversation with you guys, keep it fairly informal. And then after that, we're going to break and we'll go out to the foyer, and we've got pizza on hand by, which is a good, fairly COVID-safe lunch to have. So with that, we'll go into our headlines. Stuff that's happening in the church. If we get the first one up, Chris. So what's happening in the life of the church this coming week? Obviously, today we've just gone through what we're hoping to do on our combined service, our Vision Sunday service. This term we're focusing on a few books in Luke, I think Luke 10 through 12. We're looking at the words of Jesus and this idea that Jesus is actually calling us to action. He's speaking to us and saying, "Go and do." And that's our theme for this term. On the 7th of March, we're having a church picnic at Walker. We can spread out there quite safely, so we would love to have as many as possible on that picnic day on the 7th, straight after church. Youth is back this year. What's on this week, Jeremy, at Youth? What have we got programmed? Outdoor games night. They had the beach on Friday night, outdoor games this week. So that'd be great for anybody in that age bracket. Hello Hunter is still something we'd love to see more people involved in. If you're interested in that, the contact is Dave Guy, or you can make some inquiries through the church office. It's a really great thing to be doing. And again, just a reminder about our recycling for mission, if you've got aluminium cans or bottles of the recycling kind and you go to those machines, there's an option to scan the card that we've got available in the foyer, and the money that we generate from that can go towards our missions account. And so we'll enjoy catching up with one another after the service. And just a reminder also that and our offering baskets are at the back of the auditorium on either side of the door. So if you've come prepared to give this morning, we would appreciate you putting your gifts and offerings in those baskets. Scotty's going to come and give us our message this morning. We're really looking forward to what Scotty has to say. So I might pray for you, Scotty, as you come. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is valuable. We thank you that it's God-breathed. We thank you that it changes our lives when we ask your Holy Spirit to reveal it to us, the truth behind it and the truth that's within it. So we pray this morning, Father, that we might have ears to hear and hearts that are open to your word. We thank you for Scott. Pray that you will use him in a mighty way this morning. We thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. Welcome to Vision Sunday. It's an honor to be able to fellowship with you this morning. And we pray that the Lord would be glorified as we cast vision for this morning. How great was it to sing, "Be Thou My Vision"? I know you didn't actually sing, but I could see some of the oldies in the group biting their tongue, showing a lot of restraint to not sing. But it is a beautiful song, and it's an appropriate song to sing on Vision Sunday. It's basically a prayer that God would always be, day and night, now and forever, our vision. That our lives would be so intertwined with God that he would be all that we see and all that we long for. It's a simple vision, really, isn't it? But it should be the underpinning of any other vision that we have for this church and community. William Wilberforce was an incredible visionary. I'm sure you've heard of him. He successfully fought for the abolishment of the slave trade throughout the British Empire, yet underpinning his tremendous vision was an even greater personal vision, that he would know God, glorify him, and be conformed to Christ's image. He famously said, "It makes no sense to take the name of Christian and not cling to Christ. Jesus is not some magic charm to wear like a piece of jewelry we think will give us good luck. He is Lord. His name is to be written on our hearts in such a powerful way that it creates within us a profound experience of his peace and a heart that is filled with praise." Isn't that beautiful? William Wilberforce didn't just have a huge vision. His vision to abolish the slave trade was anchored in his personal vision for godliness. And through this, he led by his example, in his character, in his leadership, and in submission to the word. And without that, he never could have achieved the things that he did. As leaders, Lindsay, Punchy, Jeremy, and Dave have set a vision that this church would love God, love others, and make disciples. But underpinning this communal vision is our own personal vision as leaders. That our character and leadership would be like Christ and that it would remain under Christ. And we have this personal vision because we know that we can never actually set a vision for this church without leading by example in our own lives. Now, I want to say right off the bat, while I'm the one sharing this morning, I'm doing so with the full blessing and support of our pastoral team. We've discussed this message at length, and we've also chatted about our desire to serve you well and to be leaders that do this. So what I'll share this morning is a true reflection of their hearts as well. And we'd like to set a vision for the kind of men that we hope to be, the kind of leaders and pastors that we hope to be, because we cannot and we will not expect you to enter into things or ask you to do things that we are not pursuing or doing ourselves. We can't do that. And our desire is to be able to say to you, as the Apostle Paul said to the church in Corinth, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." That as we love God, love others, and make disciples, that you would come along with us. So this morning, we want to give you three aims for our personal vision for this leadership. Firstly, that our character would be like Christ. Secondly, that our leadership would be like Christ. And thirdly, that we would lead under Christ. And you might think this is all about us, but really it's not. It's all about you, because we're here to serve you. So, point one in our vision, our character should be like Christ. In the books of 1 Timothy and Titus, Paul gives a pretty big checklist for what to look for in church leaders. And it's interesting, this checklist has nothing to do with popularity or charisma, education level, personality type, business smarts, or financial success. The requirements outlined in these two books are basically all about character, about Christ-likeness. Looking at these verses, you'll see that the standard is pretty high. As pastors and elders, we're expected to be above reproach, upright, holy, respectable, lovers of good, and well thought of by outsiders. This doesn't mean sinless, of course, but it is specifying that as church leaders, we must be free from obvious and habitual sin, exhibit a heart of repentance, and a desire and a pursuit of Christ-likeness. The list goes on. If that standard wasn't high enough, the list goes on. We must be men who are self-controlled, disciplined, and sober-minded. We mustn't be drunkards, quick-tempered, violent, quarrelsome, arrogant, or new converts. Instead, we have to be gentle, humble, and mature. We can't be lovers of money, greedy for gain, but we must be hospitable, showing love and openness to all. We must be completely faithful to our marriage vows, and we must lead our families well because, as it says in Scripture, if someone doesn't know how to manage his household, how will he care for God's church? For those of us who have children that are still under our responsibility and authority, this means that we must be raising them well. They must be respectful and obedient and believers without a reputation for being wild or rebellious. So after reading this list, who wants to be a leader, right? The standard is very, very high. But it needs to be said that while this is a list of qualifications for elders and pastors, these are actually Christ-like qualities that we're all called to pursue. Leaders are just expected to be mature in these areas because we're called to lead by example. These are Christ-like characteristics that should be obvious in our lives. And we should be continuing to grow in them. And that should be evident to you. These qualifications are really just the minimum standard for leaders. And it's the minimum standard for us as a leadership. We embrace this high standard. And we will strive to live it. Otherwise, how could we expect you to live it? Amazingly, the only skill-based qualification in this list is that we must be able to teach and we must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that we may encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So our primary responsibility is to lead you through faithfully teaching the word and living the word. We must know the word, submit to the word, seek to understand the word, effectively teach you the word, and we must live the word, practice what we preach. 1 Peter 5:3 tells us that as leaders, we must be an example to the flock. Now, I'm a pretty inexperienced parent, all things considered. I have two young kids, but it hasn't taken me long to realize that the best way to lead our kids isn't just to tell them what to do and how to live, but it's also to visibly live out those things in front of them. How can I ever really expect them to follow me as a leader if I'm not modeling to them the life that I hope to see in them? If I don't use manners, why would they? If I don't clean up after myself, why would they? If I'm not quick to apologize to Ruth when I do something wrong, why would they be quick to apologize? Church, we can't and we won't. We don't want to just lead you from the pulpit, although that is important, vitally important. But we also have to lead you with our lives and our character as we pursue Christ-likeness. And the desire of Jeremy, Punchy, Lindsay, and David and I is that you'd come along with us as we fight to imitate Christ's character. so that those outside the church would look at all of us and see that we're practicing what we're preaching and we are living out our convictions and representing Christ faithfully. Let's move on to our second point. We have a vision that our leadership would be like Christ's leadership. Scripture calls leaders shepherds. Isn't that a beautiful image? Just like a shepherd, we've been given the responsibility to nurture and guide and protect the flock. That's you. So you'll be healthy and mature in your relationship with Christ, and you'll reproduce new Christians by making disciples yourself. This is our ministry. And it doesn't matter what strategies, visions, programs, or ideas that we have, if we're not seeking to lead like Christ first, then we're failing you miserably. We want to model our leadership from Him, who is the shepherd and overseers of our souls. Jesus had compassion for His sheep. He humbly and sacrificially served them, even to the point of death. He spent His life with the sheep, teaching and equipping them in word and deed. He knew His sheep. He was open with them, yet firm. He was gracious, yet He would challenge sin. He deeply cared and He protected them. As leaders of this church, for David, Punchy, Jeremy, Lindsay, and I, we want to lead like Christ. There's no other way to lead, really. And our heart, a genuine heart, is to humbly and sacrificially serve you with our lives and our gifts. We want to walk with you. We want to know you. We want to live our lives with you. We want to be open, available, and approachable. We want to protect you from harm and bad teaching. We want to challenge sin but exude grace. We want to teach you in word and deed and see each of you grow in your relationship with Christ. We deeply, deeply care for you. We love you. I haven't even been here for that long, but I love you. As Ephesians 4:11-13 says, our role as leaders is to equip His people for works of service so that the body may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Isn't that something to strive for? Point three, our vision is that we would lead under Christ in submission to Him. Honestly, we do not see leadership here as our entitlement or our right. Instead, you know, we see it as an honor, a privilege, and a responsibility that God has graciously given us. Scripture calls us as leaders to rule well, to manage and care for you. And this isn't responsibility that we take lightly because Scripture does not take it lightly. The Bible tells us that being a shepherd of God's flock is a noble task. And this is because we are working for Christ, who 1 Peter 5:4 calls the chief shepherd, right? So really, we're just like under shepherds or acting shepherds until Christ returns. Imagine being entrusted to look after God's most precious possession. Like, man, that's hardcore, right? You would take care. Let me tell you, you are God's most precious possession. You are bought with the price. And we're entrusted with the weighty responsibility of looking after the children of God who Jesus purchased with His own blood. This is huge. And we need to say that this church is not Lindsay's in any sense of ownership, nor is it Punchy's, Jeremy's, or David's, or mine, or yours. This is Christ's church. This is His body. And He, through the Word, has ultimate authority over it and in it. We are, as under-shepherds, entrusted by God to look after you for a time in submission to Him. And you know what? One day, we will give an account, Scripture tells us as leaders. We'll give an account to the chief shepherd for how we've looked after you. And we will be judged with greater strictness. Now, this is a sobering thought. but it is one that we will not shy away from. You and your life and your growth and your family matter to us because it matters to our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And it is the prayer. It is the prayer of Dave, Lindsay, Jeremy, Punchy, and I that we would be able to stand before the Lord and that he would say, well done, good and faithful servant, to us. Not that we'd been perfect, because that's never going to happen, but that we'd been faithful, because that's our endeavor. Family, we take our role seriously. Scripture calls us as leaders to have characters like Christ, to lead like Christ, and to lead under Christ. And you have our commitment that we'll pursue this. But you know, we're also sharing this with you because we need your support and we need you to keep us accountable. We're setting the standard up front, right? Because we want to be held to account. We need your help because like all people, we're sinners and we have weaknesses. And the mantle of leadership is heavy and it's tiring and it's isolating at times. So can we ask you, please pray for us? We need that. Encourage us. And please be willing to follow us. Hebrews chapter 13, 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now I know that submission is a bit of a loaded word these days, but biblical submission is actually a beautiful thing. It's really a respect and a willingness to follow those who God has made as a leader, and we want to be men worthy of that. But let me tell you that your submission is not meant to be blind, right? Yes, you were called to submit to us as long as we are remaining ourselves in submission to God and his word. Because God and his word is the one that has authority here, not us. So we want to invite you. We want to invite you to test and approve with scripture the things that we say and do as leaders. If we stray from biblical truth, practice, and morality, it's your responsibility to lovingly correct us. We are accountable to you. And we invite that. If we do or have done anything that you disagree with or that you're concerned about, please, please come and talk to us about it. Our office is open, our homes are open, and our hearts are open. We want to grow and learn. We want to talk about things and be better leaders. And guys, let me tell you that it's actually not helpful if you have a problem with us, to talk to everyone else about it but us. That's just as damaging as bad leadership. We need your help. Now, let me give you a little report. I haven't been here for long, but in my short time serving here, I can say with joy that the leadership have this very same desire, that they would have characters like Christ, that they would lead like Christ, and they would lead under Christ. And one of the ways that I have actually personally seen this and been really blessed by is by the way they have pursued these things as a team, as co-equal leaders. Now, for those of you who may not know, Maitland Baptist Church doesn't have a senior leader. Instead, the pastors and elders, they equally bear the responsibility and load together. They are co-equal, co-pastors. Now, this leadership model might be strange for some of you, but I can assure you it is a biblical model. The Bible doesn't actually make a distinction between the role of pastor, elder, overseer, and shepherd. They're actually synonyms in the original language. So they're one and the same role. Plus, there is actually nowhere in Scripture where it suggests that a local church had a senior leader. In fact, almost all of the references that it has to the local church, it says that they were led by a plurality or a group of elders. And funnily enough, this, I'm not just towing the party line here. This was actually a view that I had after studying at college. But if you've never seen this model, let me tell you that it is invaluable in helping us to have characters like Christ, to lead like Christ, and to lead under Christ. We can support one another. We can challenge each other and hold one another accountable in personal and professional ways. We balance each other's perspectives and strengths and weaknesses. And it's also really, really refining to our character because we have to wrestle through things, work out differences of opinions, and show humility and submit to one another. And all this helps us to lead you better. It produces in us better characters, helps us make better decisions. There's a better balance of gifts and perspectives. We become better leaders, and it reminds us that the head of this church is not one person, but it is Christ, right? It's been an incredible blessing for me to be a part of this. And it helps us to lead the church in loving God, loving others, and making disciples, which is our vision. So family, we love you. We are striving to serve you as best we humanly can, which sometimes isn't always good enough, but we're trying. So please, please be patient with us. Please pray for us. Please be gracious. Please correct us in our sin. If we've overlooked something, please come to us. And please follow us as we follow Jesus. Thank you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you graciously have called us into your kingdom. Father, we thank you that you graciously use sinners such as us to take part in your kingdom and do things for you and work for you and praise you. Lord God, we ask that you would bring unity, a deep unity into this church, from the leaders to those who just attend on a semi-regular basis, Lord. Father, we ask that we would be unified in our love for Jesus and that we would all strive to be Christ-like, that we would all strive to lead like Christ, that we would all strive to lead under Christ. Help us as leaders, Father. We are weak. We are sinners. Father, help us by your Holy Spirit to steward the gift of this church. And Father, may we always as a body lift you up as the head of the church and submit to you and under you. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.